did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Hi, Phil here with WolfAutoGroup.com, saying thanks for trading with us. We are excited to take your dust collecting or unused assets or valuables as down payments on the finest used trucks and cars in brand new Dodges, Chryslers, Fords, Suzukis, Jeeps of your choice. I will trade for anything, even your skill or labor. Try me on. Great financing available on the balance. That's WolfAutoGroup.com, many locations for your convenience. Call Phil personally at 303-931-9096. It's 303-931-9096.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Dr. Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and we're going to get the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Joel, good morning. Thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Well, my pleasure, Dr. Stan. Let's cover a little bit about Iran first. It appears as if more evidence is surfacing now that the United States has been fomenting a lot of this opposition unrest in Iran, specifically to foment the type of excuse for, well, of course, painting Iran as a tyrannical country. Now, obviously, there's a great deal of truth to the tyranny of the existing regime, but we have to keep this in perspective that at least they do have some opposition, and they do have elections. All elections in every country are skewed in favor of the establishment, even here in the United States. But, you know, we're not calling for regime change in North Korea, which doesn't even have elections, which has a total dictatorship and a totally suppressed system of oppression there in that country. And so we have to keep that in perspective. In other words, Iran certainly is not an example of a true representative democracy, and yet it's very clear that the U.S. is working to undermine. So an email by Sybil Edmonds today talking about the evidence of the United States shopping around for opposition candidates that they can control in order to make to piggyback upon this growing social unrest. And obviously there's an awful lot of organization going on behind, and this is just the kind of things that black operations can do in a country in order to make it untenable for the ruling state to govern. Now,
but, you know, one of the things, Joel, I think is so vitally important is that it was perhaps two or three years ago when George Bush signed an executive order and they appropriated $400 million that was to be given to the CIA to destabilize Iran. And the CIA's been over there. They've hired all sorts of terrorists. And they've been killing and assassinating people and blowing up mosques and creating all sorts of disruption in that country. That was an act of war. I mean, if somebody did that in the United States, we'd consider it an act of war to hire terrorists to disrupt our country and just to try to destabilize it. And yet that's exactly what the Bush administration did. But nobody mentions that today. I wonder why.
Well, I mentioned it in the World Affairs Brief, and
I know
you mentioned
you do.
It, but no one in the establishment media, of course, has done this. Well, I take that back. I mean, obviously, this did surface in the British press, I know, and I picked it up for the World Affairs Brief, but obviously it wasn't picked up, and this is typical for the American media. There's a lot of things that come out of Europe, which is not controlled in the media that don't get picked up here. And so there is kind of a filter that comes across, with even international agencies like Reuters or BBC, and certain things are filtered out, lest the American people be aware of these things. So I think my prognosis is that the United States will not be successful in overthrowing the Khomeini regime there and Ahmadinejad, because to a certain extent some of this persecution and involvement foreign elements does tend to galvanize the pro-establishment people in Iran. But I think its main purpose is to exacerbate the image of Iran as a rogue state that will more clearly justify the attack when it comes on Iran, which could be as early as the beginning of the year.
And I think that is the really important issue, that they have the American people feeling this is an unjust nation, we would be justified in an attack on it. And I really believe this is a prelude to war. This is what they did to the Japanese prior to the Second World War. You know, as we put sanctions and embargoes on them so they couldn't buy the things they needed to survive as a nation anywhere in the world.
Well, and we, as I said previously, when we contrast this with North Korea, we find a tremendous disconnect. What's interesting is that in the process of renewing these sanctions, you know, for North Korea's nuclear tests and their threatened missile test aimed at toward Hawaii, President Obama incredibly said the following statement. He promised to end a cycle of allowing impoverished North Korea to create a nuclear crisis and then granting concessions in the forms of food, fuel, and incentives to get Pyongyang to back down. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about this was one of my major themes for months in the World Affairs Brief, explaining that this is what North Korea always does, plays the bad boy, and the U.S. comes in with concessions of food, fuel, and incentives to get Pyongyang to back down. And here Obama is actually acknowledging that cycle of which the United States has been guilty of, and saying he's going to promise to end it. Now, I don't believe that for a minute. First of all, I find it hard to believe that the government would even admit to recognizing this pattern that they themselves have engaged in. But I'm even less convinced that it will stop. As usual, I think Obama and his speechwriters have taken this tact that we're going to tell the bald-faced truths with no intention of allowing any change in their actions. That's the tactic of the big lie. We can get credibility by finally coming out and telling people the absolute truth, and they'll say, wow, you know, Obama's telling us that, and is the first one to recognize that we've been playing footsie with the, and he's going to stop it, and he won't.
Well, I think the important thing is we're keeping this regime in power. We're giving it food and oil and building a nuclear reactor and doing all of these things for it under the guise of, well, we have to make these concessions because it's threatening, you know, to set off another nuclear bomb, or it's threatening, you know, to bomb the United States. So if we don't make all these concessions and give them more money, if we weren't constantly, you know, actually funding North Korea and allowing our Chinese friends and our Russian friends to fund them, although they don't like to spend their money, why shouldn't we spend our tax money to keep the North Korean dictatorship in power? But people can't see it.
Well, they don't see it because, you know, they take that cues from the media. But I found that this to be just an astounding statement. Now, if it's true, Stan, that they will stop this pattern, it means that there's something stronger coming up in North Korea.
Well, hold that. We'll be back in just a minute with Joel Skousen right here at the American Freedom Network.
Good news. The March of Faith Ministries presents Pastor Samuel Santos. Come and hear Pastor Santos, the man who died twice. In a 22-year span, he has been in 3 airplane accidents. 19 years ago, he fell on the ice and lost his memory totally. Doctors told his wife because of his age, he would never be normal again. This testimony can make a great impact in your life. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. Pastor Santos will be speaking at the Berthoud Community Center, 248 Welch Avenue, at 7:30 p.m. June 5th and 6th. The Johnstown Town Hall at 101 Charlotte Avenue, 7:30 p.m. June 12th and 13th. At the Millikan Town Hall, 1101 Broad Street, 7:30 p.m. June 19th to 20th. And in the Town of Meade, 441 3rd Street, June 26th and 27th. For more information, call 303-883-5674.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
A prom or graduation should never be ruined by a drunk driver. Someone who has overdone it should never attempt to drive after a party. Don't let it be your child. Make this a time that's safe for everyone. That message, courtesy of Elizabeth Locker Plant, Incorporated at 366 Grant Street in Elizabeth, specializing in naturalized aged beef and pork and complete custom processing. For the highest quality, call Elizabeth Locker Plant at 688-2240. That's 688-2240. They've been serving our area since 1943, and the Hunsley family are on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess it's morning. Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. Joel, go right on with the story.
Well, let's switch topics now. There's a new paradigm happening in law enforcement. It's law enforcement with arrogance and with attitude. Homeland Security has instructed the FAA to require that private aircraft operators seek government permission each time they fly to and from Canada, Mexico, or the Caribbean, providing complete documentation on themselves, all passengers, including names, social security numbers, and passport numbers and addresses. Now, you know, as one concerned pilot wrote to me and complained, the justification for this, they say, is that we, our spouses, family, friends, might be on their mysterious top secret no-fly list. Well, the most important aspect of this is that Homeland Security has indicated this is a preliminary step toward their ultimate objective of requiring this data submission prior to every aircraft takeoff in America, regardless of destination. Now, this breaks entirely new ground, Stan. While entering any country requires formalities, passport and other things, and visas, never, ever has it been necessary to seek and receive government permission to leave America. And that's what this indicates. It's starting with private aircraft, but this is wrong. As I say, everything is justified under national security. Now, the entire process is unsettling because it's just surfaced that several incidents in which citizens who filed the required information and received official permission to depart the USA have been detained as they were preparing to take off and had their personal aircraft, luggage, wallets, and purses searched by government agents. In one particularly frightening case in Long Beach, California, the airplane was blocked in by multiple vehicles with red lights and sirens, and the occupants forced from their planes, hands on their heads, by screaming. You know how the agents always scream. Federal agents, you know, put your hands behind your back and get out of the airplane, and they're yelling and screaming and yelling, now, 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 and all with drawn weapons, pointing at people. In this and all other incidents, after extensive searches, the agents have told the citizens this was just a routine ramp check. Ramp refers to the paved area where aircraft are parked, leaving the travelers shaken to repack their belongings. Now, this activity is totally unrelated to traditional arrival customs checks, and it also breaks new ground. On the face of it, it clearly violates the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution. It does not match any situations the courts have ruled make this type of warrantless random stop permissible. Now, complaints to Homeland Security higher-ups about these routine checks and the violent drawn guns, etc., were answered by spokeswoman Kelly Ivanenko, a nice Russian immigrant working for Homeland Security, with a statement that said, and he accurately says he's paraphrasing, "We maintain we have this power and authority, and you can expect we will continue to do it whenever and wherever we wish, and there is no requirement that we justify ourselves to you or anyone else." How's that for supreme arrogance of law enforcement with an attitude?
I think it's a frightening thing because, I mean, basically, there's the old adage, you know, when the government fears the people, there's freedom, but when the people fear the government, there's tyranny, and we're moving towards tyranny. And the law enforcement are going along with this. It's great to have power and to make people fear you.
Well, there's another case picked up by William Norman Grigg in his column this week about Shreveport, Louisiana. He says, says, according to Shreveport's gun-grabbing mayor, Cedric Brown, an advocate of civil disarmament, his police have the power to suspend the rights of any motorist they stop and can seize a civilian's firearms at will, including those with concealed weapons permits. I mean, this is just incredible. Anytime a motorist is stopped by a police officer, insists Glover, your rights have been suspended. Well, I tell you, the Supreme Court doesn't agree with that. This includes not only the freedom of movement, but also in the event the officer inquires as to whether the driver is carrying a weapon, your right to be able to hold onto your weapon and say whether or not you have a weapon has been suspended. The officer has the right to confiscate it from you. Should you
I wish that the people in that area, would, each one of them who gets stopped, would bring a massive lawsuit against the city and bankrupt it, and maybe they get rid of that mayor.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unconscionable that we have policemen with these kinds of attitudes. You know, and incredibly, this is, you know, spreading to other jurisdictions, depending on, and, you know, there is a counter wave, you know, from the very few sheriffs who believe that, you know, that in the Constitution that they have the ultimate authority in law. But those types of sheriffs are being increasingly, how should I say, targeted for removal from office by politicians because they don't like the stigma of someone who insists on county sovereignty over federal affairs. Well, moving on to the main issue of today's World Affairs Brief that's coming out is on Obama's record of no change except for the worst. You know, I've lost count of how many times Barack Obama's claimed he's going to change the way Washington does business, how he's going to cut off the role of big corporate lobbyists, stop government use of secrecy to cover for illegal actions, make government more accountable and transparent, stop corruption, and end cronyism. But the record indicates that all of these are part of the big lie, a concerted effort to deceive his own followers and the nation, too. Only the establishment media is silent about this growing dichotomy. Others are noticing it, including his own people from the left. None of the White House press corps dares question him in public about his backtracking. And I'll tell you, you know, this would make a great question for the president. You know, you said and such, and look what your, you know, departments are doing, and have him try to explain in public. But, boy, they won't allow all those questions are pre-screened at these presidential conferences to make sure that none of those embarrassing questions are brought up. You know, there's, of course, major issues that I covered last week. Financial corruption between government and Wall Street is continuing under the new regulations, pretended regulations by Obama, where he gives increased power to the Federal Reserve, but only over key large banks, the kind of insider banks that I suspect are the actual owners of the Federal Reserve. By putting the Federal Reserve over the regulatory issues of derivatives and credit default swaps and those types of things, those very dangerous instruments which brought us to this present crisis, by putting the Federal Reserve over these banks, they're actually allowing the Federal Reserve to cover for the banks, because there's only one regulator under that, not a multitude of regulators, of which a few might be honest. They're able to, in fact, have only one person look the other way, and the rest of the banks will be under their own, you know, other separate regulators. But this is a very, very disturbing package. Of course, the health care reform package, this is bad enough as well. I'll be covering that in future briefs as more and more comes out about it. The biggest thing I'm afraid about that is, fearful about the health care reform, is that for the first time in the U.S., it will become a mandatory program. And if it's mandatory like Social Security, then they milk everybody's money, even those that don't use the program or don't need it. And, you know, there's a lot of the 41 million supposed people out there. There are millions like myself who choose not to have health insurance because it doesn't pay for anything that I use. And, you know, we believe in alternative medicine. We don't like drugs, and we don't use them. We don't like their protocols. And so and we try to live preventively so that we don't need. And, you know, I've had two generations of families now that have never had health insurance, and we've never had any major problems because we know that we're at risk, and even though we self-insure to a great extent with a fairly ample savings account. Nevertheless, we know that that could be wiped out, you know, by any major hospitalization at $1,000, $1,500 a day. And so we live preventively. But we live healthy. We don't take risks that we don't have to. We don't do stupid things because we're motivated to avoid these costs. This is in contrast, of course, to the insurance mentality. I'm covered, and so I don't have to be careful what I eat. If I get sick, the medical system will take care of me. But it doesn't take care of me very well, and increasingly, you'll be like other countries where we have to line up. And what's the delay, a typical delay in Canada, Dr. Stan, for operations?
Well, it depends on emergency operations right away, but certainly an elective operation can be 6 months to a year and a half, 2 years. But it's an amazing thing. It'll take you 6 months to a year and a half to get a CT scan or an MRI. And there's a lead article in the Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons just this week, written by a Canadian doctor who was in charge of a radiological imaging unit, who talked about, you know, it was routine. It took something like 7 months to get a CT scan and a year and a half to get an MRI. Well, if you've got a brain tumor, do you really want to be sitting a year and a half waiting to get an MRI? But the only way that they can make the system work in Canada is by simply rationing access to health care, and they do it by putting you on a list and then just putting you off year after year, you know, and certainly many times for, say, a hip surgery, it'll take you a year and a half, 2 years before you can get in and have your hip surgery done, unless you want to get it done right away, and then you come to the United States. And the same thing with cardiac surgery. So you get the system to work by limiting access to health care. That's how the Canadian system works. But if you're healthy, it's a great system. It doesn't cost you anything. And if you're ill, well, you can always come to the United States and pay for it yourself. However, when we get our new system in, we'll have to probably have to go to other countries here to get the health care that we need.
Well, the problem is that when you make something mandatory, there's very little escape from the taxation portion. You know, even if you don't use the Canadian system, you pay very, very high taxes there. So it isn't free. I mean, I've talked to businessmen in Canada, and their business taxes, corporate taxes, and income taxes are extremely high. And it's one of the reasons that keeps driving a lot of them to seek to move to the residency of the United States. You know, we use deficit spending here to pay for things rather than tax increases, and it's done politically, specifically to avoid the resistance that people normally feel that they're paying for these things. And there is this illusion that it's free now, you know, because government taxes are paying. And it's true that when you force everybody to participate, you spread the pain around so that not everybody feels the same or the total bill, but it's like government funding and public schooling. They take my money, who doesn't use public schools, and it reduces the cost for those that do use them. They think, hey, I've got a really good deal. Look at all these expensive schools, and I don't have to hardly pay anything at all. Even their property taxes don't even come close to the anywhere from $7,000 to $12,000 per year per student that public schools, high schools, cost the state. And, you know, most parents pay a property tax of $3,000 a year on the house, and that's all they pay for all the students they send there. So this is a great evil, and it prohibits our ability to escape the system, like in Social Security, because it's mandatory. That's what I fear here. And, of course, the cost will inevitably rise, as they have with Medicare, and it drives out private programs more and more. There's no way that the private programs are going to be able to compete with the subsidized government program that is being proposed in this Democratic version of the health care plan. What I also fear about the Republicans, of course, is that in being encouraged to come up with alternatives, they'll come up with something that's not quite as bad, but it will still be 90% as bad as the Democrat, and it'll be sold to us on the principle that, oh, this is an improvement. But, you know, my greatest concern is not so much as bad as those are, the financial regulatory package and the health care reform package. It is the continuance of things that started during the Bush administration, which took away our liberties and potentially have great threats to us down the line. Government secrecy, spying, surveillance, detention without charge, lack of habeas corpus, cronyism, all these are greater dangers to our liberties in the long term, than these specific socialist packages.
Well, I certainly share your concern, and we're moving towards a total surveillance society, and the average individual has never heard of Echelon. They do not know that there is a standard program to monitor every program, every telephone call, every email, every fax to Project Echelon, all done by computer. Isn't it wonderful? We'll be back in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Every year, a prom or graduation is ruined by an intoxicated driver. Parents, talk to your young adults about the dangers and consequences of driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Remember, celebrating safely creates happy memories for everyone. This message from Jambalaya is you'll enjoy excellent food, beverages, plus top service while you're there. Enjoy the specials listed on their complete menu. They're open hours that are convenient for you, so stop by soon for that family treat. That's Jambalaya's at 109 Colorado Avenue in Moreno. Bring all your friends and family in before graduation or call ahead for larger special orders or parties. Donna and staff are proud of our graduates.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they could get a free copy of the World Affairs Brief and hopefully go ahead and subscribe to it as I do.
Well, people can get a free sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, or they can go to the website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And it explains how to do that right on the at the end of the summary of the current brief. Also on the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, is a rundown of all the top news stories posted by my volunteer research staff. And they do a good job at sorting out the best of the conventional sources with the least disinformation in them. And, of course, I apply my analysis to those stories to give you a more full update at the end of each week. Friday is when the brief comes out. Also, a lot of good material on my books. I've written extensive library books on preparation, because I believe that even though we're fighting this battle to retain our liberties, we have to be prepared to, you know, for the takedown if it happens, and for war and other things, and social unrest especially, that will surely come to this nation. One book is The Secure Home, big as a telephone book, everything from A to Z on security and self-sufficiency of a residence or retreat, and the other is called Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, which talks about contingency strategies for relocating to more rural and retreat areas should social unrest make living in the metropolitan areas untenable. Also, lots of free information on the right-hand side of the website. My specialty is talking about cover-ups that the government has done and exposing the hidden agenda behind the way the world works. And that's all covered on a lot of special archival material on the right-hand side. So I encourage people to go to World Affairs Brief, not only to check on the top news stories each day, but to read some of the background information on my theories and writings.
Well, I certainly would recommend it to all of our listeners. Fascinating source of information, and certainly it's comes out every Friday. I enjoy reading, but even more than that, every day I go to World Affairs Brief to keep up on what's really going on in the world. And I think if you want to keep abreast of what's happening and not what you read in the media, which is obviously controlled and filtered and the important story suppressed, why, you go to World Affairs Brief and they'll surf the web for you and give you the information that you need. Go ahead.
Yeah, that pre-selecting and pre-filtering information and getting the best out to the public of the establishment news sources is a pretty good service that people should take advantage of, and that's free. Anyway, you know, it's incredible, Dr. Stan, to look at the dichotomy between what Obama says and what he does. I mean, think of these quotes here. As early as, you know, this year, he's saying, my administration is committed to creating an unprecedented level of openness in government. He says, transparency and the rule of law will be touchstones of this presidency. A democracy requires accountability, and accountability requires transparency. All agencies in my administration will adopt a presumption in favor of disclosure in order to renew their commitment to the principles embodied in the Freedom of Information Act. I mean, it's just ludicrous when you look at his record then. As Glenn Greenwald of Salon.com says, has Obama fulfilled those pledges and lived up to those commitments even remotely? Just examine for the facts for yourself and judge for yourself. And so, taking a cue from Glenn Greenwald, I've listed a litany of the claims and what's happened, and these are only the ones that come from establishment sources. Yes, they do mention once, you know, a contradiction, but they don't make them a drumbeat. And I cannot emphasize to your listeners enough how the media can tell the truth once and it doesn't make any difference. If they don't make it a drumbeat, it won't change the American people and won't get them energized behind the cause.
And I mean, so beautifully with this issue on Iran, day after day after day after day, all we hear about is how terrible things are in Iran and how they shot this lady and, you know, beautiful woman. But this is all we see on television. This is all we read in the newspaper every day, front page New York Times. You're absolutely right. They could tell the truth one time and people would read it and say, that's interesting. But Obama is doing everything he can to cover up for the crimes of the Bush administration, and they were crimes.
That's right. I mean, look at even the establishment news media picks these things up. In February 9th, New York Times saying, in a closely watched case involving rendition and torture, a lawyer for the Obama administration seemed to surprise a panel of federal judges by pressing ahead with an argument the same as the Bush administration for preserving state secrets. February 21st, Huffington Post, the Obama administration siding with former President George Bush, is trying to kill a lawsuit that seeks to recover what could be millions of missing White House emails. Citing executive privilege again. February 27th, the AP, Obama administration lost its argument that a potential threat to national security should stop a lawsuit challenging the government's warrantless wiretapping program. The Atlantic, April 7th, the Obama administration still wants to keep its secrets. Yesterday, the Justice Department, in a case brought against Bush officials for illegal spying, embraced the argument that state privilege has trumped the ability of any litigant to sue the National Security Agency. I mean, this is just incredible. What about openness? What about transparency, Obama?
Well, I think, of course, where we miss the point, Joel, is the fact that the same people control the Obama administration that control the Bush administration. All we've done is change the faces, but the same power structure is there, the same effort to conceal. And the American people don't understand there's a small clique that controls both political parties. And every 4 years we go to the polls to throw the rascals out, and boy, do we feel good. We have a new administration now, and we're going to have transparency. And it's all a lie. It's all an effort to confuse the American people. The same people are still in control.
Well, what makes it more difficult to see for the average people is there is a totally new staff. There's all, well, I shouldn't say that. About 20% are still holdovers from the Bush administration, which surprised many people on the left that Bush would keep some of these people. But by and large, they have two or even three teams, all CFR, all trilateral commission, and they take slightly different positions so that they can be viewed as Democrats or Republicans, but ultimately they continue to push for the same foreign policy intervention that the globalists have been pursuing, and the same semi-socialist position that, and globalists do have a socialist position. It's not as radical as communism. It doesn't want to destroy the free market. It simply wants to milk and harness the free market. And that's where they gain their expertise. His commitment to the Freedom of Information Act, he even sponsored a bill through Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Lieberman, supporting the position that put these photographs of Abu Ghraib abused beyond the FOIA.
Well, that will be right back here in a moment with Joel Scouse of World Affairs.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Thank you.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And for the last segment, let's go right ahead.
Well, you know, one of the most important, egregious backtracking that Obama has done has to do with the spying issue. You know, ever since the New York Times revealed in December 2005 the Bush administration has spent the last 4 years illegally spying on Americans' communication without warrants, there have been numerous additional revelations of various types of illegal spying. But it's interesting that there's a pattern involved here that Glenn Greenwald puts out. He says, every time new revelations of illegal government spying arise, the same exact pattern repeats itself. Number one, euphemisms are invented to obscure its legality, called overcollection, circumventing legal guidelines, overstepped its authority, improperly obtained. You know, all of these point out there's something wrong that's going on, but they downplay it by softening the language. Number two, they always give assurances that it was all strictly unintentional and caused by innocent procedural errors that are now being fixed.